So here we are in the middle of summertime, and it has been hot for sure, and looks like there's more heat on the way. So Caitlin Pico, the public health coordinator for the Quincy Health Department, has stopped on by to give us some summer heat tips. Hi, Caitlin, how are you?
I am good. How are you, Joe?
Good. Thanks for coming over. It's great to meet you, first of all.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. As I mentioned, we've already had a pretty hot summer, but there's more to come.
Yes, yes. And especially in this heat, it can be very dangerous, especially with heat-related illnesses. So I'm thankful you had me on just to go over some state guidelines and tips and tricks to stay safe during this heat.
Yeah, it can be a health issue for folks, especially who have maybe some chronic illnesses, or even work outside, for a living.
Yes. So there is a whole group of individuals that are considered disproportionately affected by the heat. So we will definitely go through that.
Okay.
I just wanted to start off with what is extreme heat or a heat wave. So here in Massachusetts, we would typically say that would be 3 or more consecutive days in which the temperature is 90 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. We would also see a lot of humidity at this time. And the humidity really affects the way your body can sweat, of course, so it really affects your body temperature. And these conditions make your body work extra hard to maintain its temperature. So we just want to cover all these health topics just to make sure you're staying safe out there.
Absolutely, yeah. Have you seen any issues in Quincy so far when it comes to the heat?
So luckily we have not had too many calls. It appears people have their air conditionings working and everything. So a lot of people are staying safe, staying inside, staying hydrated.
Great.
So luckily not too many concerns in Quincy at this time.
That's good, but these tips are always helpful regardless.
Yes, yes. And then if we could just go into now, we'll go through the different populations that are considered disproportionately affected.
Sure.
So to begin with, the first group is older adults who are 65 and older. And they are considered more prone to heat-related illnesses due to the reduced ability for their body to adjust to sudden temperature changes. This population is also more likely to be diagnosed with chronic medical conditions that also affects the body's response to temperature. And also with these medical conditions come prescribed medications that can also alter. So if you are somebody that is 65 and older or has chronic medical conditions, make sure to check in with your doctor or your loved ones during these times just to make sure you're safe and you're staying hydrated and staying on track, because it's good to know if a medication you're on is going to further dehydrate you in hot conditions. So with that, the second group we would go into is then just individuals with those chronic medical conditions. This could include heart disease, mental illness, poor blood circulation, and obesity. Again, with all of these conditions, your body's gonna struggle a little more to maintain the coolness in your body. So make sure you're really staying monitoring for any heat-related illnesses. Next, we have athletes. They are more prone to dehydration and heat-related illnesses, especially if they're outside working right now. I know I have a cousin who, during this heat wave, just did an Ironman.
Oh, my goodness.
So she luckily stayed hydrated. She made it through it. But athletes are very much at risk for a heat exhaustion.
Yeah, well, Boston just postponed the triathlon that was supposed to be held this past Sunday when it was 100 degrees, so they pushed that ahead to the end of August, I think.
Yes, yeah. It can be very dangerous. So it's smart because you saved a lot of athletes that way by pushing it off.
Yeah, I know even here in Quincy, some of the playground programs were closed early, 11 o'clock in the morning, just because of the heat.
Yes, and to get kids, because when you're outside all day, especially if you're playing outside, children may not realize they're getting dehydrated.
Right.
And a lot of times by the time you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated.
Yes.
You're already behind. So we'll go into that as well.
Yep.
there's three other groups that are also disproportionately affected, include outdoor workers, of course. So if you are an outdoor worker and you notice a coworker is getting exhausted, showing any signs of weakness or faintness, make sure they stop and go to a cool place to take a break until they at least feel a little better. But if it worsens, they may need medical attention.
Okay.
Also, we have infants and young children, and that's because they rely on us, of course, to keep them hydrated, to keep them safe. So make sure you're monitoring your children in the heat. This also goes for pets as well, because of course, we take care of pets. So you want to make sure they're not walking on hot pavement and all of that. And then lastly, we have low-income households. And the reason that they're seen at an increased risk is if they do not have access to things like air conditioning within their home, they could be very at increased risk for this heat-related illnesses.
Okay.
So one outreach they could reach out to is 211, and they would be able to find local resources in their area for a cooling station. So for example, libraries, it may be a senior center, but somewhere you can go and sit during the peak of the heat just to cool off and relax for a little while.
Yeah, I've seen even some of the highway electronic message boards have notices up for where you can go to cool off in just certain communities.
Yes, yeah. And a lot of the state, like a lot of states now will have like those mass notify.
Yes.
So they will alert you in these conditions and they can alert you on the local shelters or if there are any restrictions out there due to weather. That all that information will be found on 211, which is very helpful.
Excellent. Good, good. And now here in Quincy, too, you can sign up for individual city alerts through the city's website.
Yeah. Yes, through the city's website. So that's another great resource to use.
Sure. Okay.
Yes.
So those are the folks that are susceptible, right?
Yes.
More susceptible than the general public, I guess.
Yes.
What do we do? How do we get ready, Caitlin?
You want to make sure you're prepared. So the best way to prepare is, of course, to stay informed. So make sure you're watching the news before, during, and after the emergencies. As we already just mentioned, that 211, which is very helpful. And also, if you go on the city's website, you could sign up for the city's alerts as well. So that's always great resources. You can always reach out to your local Board of Health. We're office hours of Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. But if it was a big emergency, normally the city would come in to answer phones to make sure the residents are safe.
Sure.
And another thing you would want to do is keep your home cool. So even if one that would be installing your air conditioners, making sure that they're insulated around so the hot air is not coming in the house. It also would block out insects and all of that as well. Another thing to do, I've heard it called like the caveman effect, is during the days, during the peak hours when the sun's up, keep your shades closed, turn your lights off, just to kind of keep the coolness within your home.
Yeah. Not a good time to do baking.
Yes.
Don't turn the oven on.
Leave the stove off. Yes, everything like that. You don't want to add increased heat at that time. And then lastly, you want to create a plan. So say you don't have air conditioning, you can hopefully make a plan with a family, friend, or neighbor to either go to their home during those peak hours when your home will be too hot, or again, you could find one of those cooling stations, such as a local library, where you can go and sit down for a little while and relax until it cools off a little at night.
Sure. And I would think a lower level in a home would be cooler than an upper level, right, if you have a basement.
Because heat rises. Yeah. So, yes, another thing, you could always go to the lower level. You just want to make sure you're not sleeping down there unless it's up to code and
of course.
Safe. I'd like to, working for the health department.
That's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yes, and then now going into when the heat is here. So one of the most important things that I always like to note is never leave a child or pet alone in a closed vehicle. Even if you have those windows cracked, the temperature in a car can rise almost 20 degrees Fahrenheit in as little as 10 minutes. Yep. So this can be life-threatening to the individual in the car. This doesn't just go for children and pets. This could be an adult, mm-hmm. like a dependent adult who needs the assistance of others. So if you see somebody in a locked car, if you can't tell that air conditioning's running and they look like they're in distress, call 911 right away. You may have to break that window if it's an emergency and they appear to be passed out.
Sure, yeah.
You just want to make sure you're doing that as safely as possible. You don't want to bust the window where they are. God forbid, like the shards of glass mm-hmm. hit them. Mm-hmm. But definitely call 911. If you don't know what to do, they will know what to do and get there as quick as possible.
Absolutely, yep.
So that's always very important. You will see a lot of like videos online. People now put signs saying like, my dog is okay, the AC's running.
Oh, really?
So okay. But you can kind of monitor the situation, but definitely if they appear to be in distress, call 911 right away.
Okay.
Other steps you can take, which are kind of more common, wear lightweight clothing that is loose fitting and light colored. I tend to wear black clothes every day. It attracts the sun, so that's not good to do during the extreme heat.
Okay.
If you're outdoors, try to find a shady area. Also make sure you're covering your skin, one with sunscreen, but also if you have a nice big hat, try to keep the sun from beating on your actual skin just to kind of cool your body a little bit.
Sure.
Avoid that strenuous activity. And as I love to say, stay hydrated. I add this in every show I'm in. Hydration or dehydration, I may say, is one of the primary contributors to heat exhaustion. So according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, it's better to drink small intervals of water more often than rather large amounts in like less frequently.
Don't gulp a gallon of water at once, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So they say like you want to drink about 1 cup, which is 8 ounces, every 15 to 20 minutes, okay. especially if you're working outdoors.
Okay.
And as I said earlier, if you are thirsty, it's already too late. You're already dehydrated. Mm. So you really want to start. I like to wake up in the morning and start with a glass of water before I have anything,
well,
just to really get the hydration going.
Okay, all right.
Especially on these hot days. You also, to avoid dehydration, you want to make sure you're avoiding caffeine drinks and alcohol, because too much caffeine can then affect your cardiac system. And if your cardiac system is already trying to balance out the heat, it's just an added stress that is not good. And also with these like caffeine drinks, the sports drinks, mm-hmm. such as like Gatorade,
yep.
any of those,
yep.
they can be loaded with sugar. So you wanna make sure that your main drink of choice should be water, because with your diet, if you're having a regular diet, you should be getting your electrolytes through that.
Okay.
But I must say, it's good to have an electrolyte drink on hand. God forbid you do come into one, like heat stroke, heat exhaustion, it's good to take small sips of that just until help arrives.
Okay.
Yes, and then I think I had just two more points.
Sure.
So the next point was just, if the temperature is more than 95 degrees, try to avoid electric fans. This is something I just learned. They say that electric fans are known to increase your risk of heat illness simply because it's a false sense of comfort.
Oh.
It's actually not cooling your body. It's not effectively cooling your body. So although you're feeling a little cooler, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it's not gonna work very well of lowering your core temperature by any means. So it can, you just want to make sure you're monitoring. Of course, fans are great to have. Just make sure if you're feeling really sick and it's not improving and all you have is an electric fan, maybe seek medical advice just to make sure you're not going into heat exhaustion.
It's like blowing a hairdryer on your face, basically, right?
Yes.
It's not really helping you. It may be not hurting you, but it's not helping
It's not helping, yeah. Yes. And then I've mentioned this several times, that is a very key, important fact. Make sure you're checking on yourself, your family members, and your neighbors. Because some people, you don't know what everybody's situation is. Mm-hmm, you don't know if they have family around. So it doesn't hurt to check in, to say, hi, how are you? Just making sure you're doing okay on this hot day.
Yeah, okay.
That's always nice.
What are some of the, I'm sure we'll probably talk about this, but just some of the signs that you're starting to have issues because of the heat?
Yeah. So there are three major heat-related illnesses that the state and FEMA cover when they talk about heat-related illnesses. Mm-hmm. So this would include heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke.
Okay.
So first, heat cramps is the lesser of this. So signs and symptoms of heat cramps include muscle pains or spasms, and the individual may feel this in their stomach, arms, or legs. Mm. And this can be caused by excessive sweating. So in this steps to take, that individual wants to go to a cooler location. They want to remove excess clothing if they have it on. Take sips of a cool sports drink. That's again where the electrolytes come in handy.
Okay.
If they only have water, that's okay. But it's important to know, take small sips. You don't want to chug it, mm-hmm. because this individual could end up just throwing that up.
Okay.
So small sips will be better on the stomach, better to absorb it. And you want to make sure this drink, again, has salt and sugar, just to kind of regulate the electrolytes in your body. And if these cramps persist for more than an hour, definitely call 911 to seek medical evaluation.
Okay, all right. So, okay, good to know. Yeah.
Yes. And then, so next we have heat exhaustion. So this often happens when somebody overexerts themselves in a hot, humid weather. At this point, the body fluids are lost through heavy sweating. Mm. And so the blood flow goes to the exterior of the skin, which decreases the blood flow to the vital organs. So of course, this would then cause somebody to have heavy sweating, paleness, muscle cramps, fatigue, weakness, dizziness, headache, nausea, vomiting, and even fainting. So at this point, if they're still conscious, you want to make sure they're, again, going to a cooler area, an air conditioner, place to lie down. They want to remove or loosen those clothing if necessary. Take a cool shower or a cool bath. Take small sips of that electrolyte drink. You do want to make sure you're not leaving this person alone, though. I know it sounds a little silly telling them to take a bath, but also not leaving them alone.
Right.
Make sure the door is open, somebody's standing there checking in on them.
Okay.
Because God forbid if it exacerbates and gets worse, they may need medical attention.
Okay.
So on the FEMA website, it said if these symptoms persist for more than an hour, call 911 for evaluation.
Okay.
And especially if you notice they're getting worse or they're quickly declining, call 911. It doesn't hurt to have them come and check them out.
Okay.
And then lastly, the most severe is heat stroke.
Okay.
This is life-threatening. And signs and symptoms would include extreme high body temperature. So this would be above 103 degrees Fahrenheit when it's taken orally by a thermometer. A lot of times you won't have a thermometer on hand,
right.
Of course.
Yeah.
But this person may appear red, hot, with dry skin, with no sweating. And they may have a rapid, strong pulse, dizziness, confusion, and unconsciousness.
Mm, okay.
So this, again, is life-threatening condition. They need to call 911 immediately. And you want to attempt to cool this individual with any methods available. So, for example, if you have cool cloths, you want to put that on them. You can wrap them in a cold, wet blanket. They even say if you have bags of ice, You might want to like wrap it in a towel and put it on their pressure points, just to really cool them down just while you're waiting for 911 to arrive.
Okay, so that's very serious at that point.
Very serious, yeah. And it's all fast acting, so as soon as you see any of these signs, and even if you're unsure of the time length that they've been experiencing,
yeah.
And you're not a trained professional,
yeah.
Call 911.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt to have them come and assess the situation.
Okay. Are there different stages of dehydration that you know, Caitlin? Or
yeah, there so are? There definitely is. And you can see that, like, definitely, if you look on mass.gov, there's all information. You can even see through urine, the color of your urine, how concentrated, so how yellow to how clear it is. Can be a clear depiction on how dehydrated you are.
Okay.
Every person is different, especially with their body. So they want to make sure they're collaborating with their doctor to see, do they need an electrolyte replacement? Is it unsafe for them to take electrolyte replacements?
Right, yeah.
Because, again, those have a lot of sodium.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are on sodium-restricted diets.
Yes, okay.
So definitely check in with your doctor. Make sure with the medications you're on, you know if you're higher risk for dehydration. And I always, that's one of the things I always push is dehydration because it really does affect your body so much.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you're staying nice and hydrated, having a well-balanced meal, and drinking water throughout the day.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up meals because I was going to ask, does it matter what we eat? We've talked a lot about what we drink, but does it matter what we eat?
Yes. So a lot of our diet, so as I say with those electrolyte packets, normally the average person, if they're eating a well-rounded diet, they should be getting the necessary electrolytes through the diet.
Mm-hmm.
While drinking water. So that's why they normally typically go away from those electrolyte drinks because there is so much sugar in them. But there is a lot of fruits, like such as watermelon, grapes, like they have a lot of fluid in there as well.
Right, yep.
So that's also good. That does add to your overall water intake for the day.
Okay.
I always like to measure mine just by the water. Just so I know if I hit a certain amount of, I use like a 32-ounce bottle. So I fill it up 3 times a day, and I know if I hit that, I've hit my mark for the day.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Are there foods that should be avoided during, you know, especially heat wave situations?
So not specifically. Okay. The biggest things you want to avoid are just caffeine intake and alcohol intake.
Okay.
Especially with alcohol, one that is going to dehydrate you quicker, and also the more alcohol you drink, your ability to kind of assess for illnesses decreases as well. So you just want to make sure you're keeping an eye on yourself and staying safe. And if you are going to consume alcohol, maybe mix in a couple waters just to make sure your body is staying hydrated.
Okay, good to know as well. It sounds like the whole key is just don't get dehydrated in the first place because it all kind of descends from there, right?
Yes, yeah. It's that, and then the biggest thing is just making sure you know those signs to look out for because that way you can help yourself or someone around you.
Yeah.
When in doubt, call 911. If you notice somebody's acting confused and lethargic, doesn't hurt to call 911, especially if you're just coming to the scene and you're just seeing this person.
Yes.
You don't know how long they've been acting that way.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it true that little babies don't sweat? Is that?
Yes, so they do. They're, well, I should not say completely true. I would have to fact check that.
All right.
But I know that their bodies do not regulate temperature as much.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of times the parents are the ones that are making sure they either have the blanket or they're not wrapped in the blanket.
Oh.
Really just checking, monitoring the baby's temperature to make sure they're not getting overheated.
Okay.
Because they cannot, their bodies cannot regulate it as well as the adult body can.
Sure. And probably be careful too of sun exposure when you're, because when you're in the water, in a pool or the ocean, you feel cool, right? You're wet.
Yeah.
But you're still getting sun.
Yeah, so that's a big thing, especially like back and forth if you're in the ocean, especially where the ocean's really cool. you're not really noticing the back and forth. You want to make sure you're always protecting yourself from the sun. Wear your sunscreen. I always say with that, go to accordance of what the instructions are on the sunscreen, like how often you should reapply and all of that. Because you also, that's also the risk of like skin cancer all of that too. So make sure you're staying covered while outside in the sun and staying safe in this hot weather.
Yeah. We haven't talked either about air quality, which tends to go down, you know, when the heat waves hit. So especially folks, I would think, with asthma or chronic conditions would have a tougher time.
Yes, and especially right now during where we're still in the pandemic and a lot of people do still wear masks.
Yeah.
That's an added layer to it. So make sure if you are wearing your mask and you have chronic conditions, make sure you're taking breaks.
Okay.
I always like to keep water on hand with me, especially if I'm going for a walk. That way you're just making sure you're giving your body time to adjust and you're not overexerting yourself.
Sure. Okay. Good advice all around.
Yes. And any, like, if there's any specific questions people have, if it's a medical question, they can always call their doctor to confirm. If it's something they want to learn more, they can go to mass.gov, the CDC website. The FEMA website also has a lot about being ready for extreme heat. Or they can reach out to their local health department, and we're happy to help give some advice.
Okay, great. What's the number at the Quincy Health Department?
Yes, so the number for the Quincy Health Department is 617-376-1275.
Okay. And on the website as well, quincyma.gov, right?
Yes, quincyma.gov, and then you would just go right to the health page.
Okay, great. Anything else we should let folks know about right now?
I believe that is the gist of it.
Right.
I believe we covered a good amount of information. And hopefully the population will stay safe and give us a call if they have additional questions.
All right. Great to talk to you, Caitlin. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We will see you next time.